This piece was brought to you by Brooklyn Slate, brooklynslate.com, heritageradionetwork.org.
Health. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are coming to you from the back of Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today we're doing a little food fight talk with some special guests in the studio. August and Marissa, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So for our listeners out there, I think we should maybe start with a little bit of an introduction. Why don't you guys give me a sense of who you are and what brought you together? And maybe August, I'll have you jump in first.
No ladies first.
Not today.
She's playing defense. You're playing offense. For now.
For now. Thank you. I have a restaurant company, a restaurant group, the Epicurean Group. We own and operate three full-service restaurants, Dell'Anima, L'Artusi, and L'Apiccio in downtown Manhattan and West Village and East Village. And a wine bar called Enfora, and I actually met Marissa originally at L'Apiccio. And we just kind of, you're at the bar and with a friend, and I don't know how
we... how the story always goes?
Our eyes caught, and the rest is history. Yeah, so we just got chatting, and then Marissa was opening up a new business.
Oh, tell us about that. Her. Yeah.
Yes.
We are a small cafe, slash I guess you could call us restaurant, in the West Village called Nourish Kitchen and Table. We're about not even 4 months old. And we are around the corner from two of August's establishments, Dell'Anima and Enfora, which I often find myself after a long day of work. But we're focused on more prepared takeaway foods. We have just launched our catering arm, and delivery is soon to come. We're focused on, you know, local purveyors, seasonal ingredients, just providing the community and neighborhood a slightly different element to most of the restaurants that are out there because of the prepared takeaway aspect.
Nice. So, and you have a nutrition background, is that right?
I do.
Tell us about that.
I'm a registered dietitian. And so the concept of Nourish Kitchen and Table came out of my previous business, Nourish, which is more private nutrition counseling for individuals, groups, corporations. I do a lot of media consulting. So,
and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, because August, you have a big fight coming up. Give us a lowdown.
Well, life is a fight in general. And I have a fight, a charity, white collar boxing match called it's for an organization called Haymakers for Hope. Great organization. This is the second year they're doing it in Manhattan. They've done it 3 years in Boston, and basically it's each fighter gets to choose their own charity. It has to be cancer related, and it's a bunch of white collar guys throwing on the mitts, and there's 15 fights at Hammerstein Ballroom Thursday the 14th, and it's awesome, and we just raised some money for great causes.
Nice. So you decided to sign up for the fight, and obviously you have kind of the boxing training that you're going through, but another component to your training has been looking at the food you're eating and the nutritional component. So was it obvious to you from the beginning that you wanted to reach out to Marissa, or that you needed some help kind of making a plan in that area?
Yeah, so I just got into boxing because we opened up our first restaurant about 6 years ago now, and I stopped working out, and I always worked out my whole life. So just had been really busy with opening up restaurants and life and all that kind of stuff. So got back into the gym. I wanted to do something competitive, and boxing was something I was familiar with. My father boxed as a good amateur, and I always kind of grew up around it. So started to box, hitting the mitts and whatnot, got a trainer, which I'd never had before the first time, and started getting some muscle mass back and all that, but was still just had too much of a little bit of a belly from eating pasta and drinking wine and booze every night, as you tend to do in the restaurant industry. He was like, well, if you really want to, you know, get serious about this, you know, you should sign up for this fight. And like, I've used this before, and this was somebody in the gym that kind of gave me this, but he said, embarrassment's not the reason you should get in shape, but it's a damn good motivator. So, with that being said, I had to start eating healthy was the key. A little more cardio, but it really was more about my diet. And in comes Marissa saying, hey, I think there's somebody that I might be able to talk to. So we reached out.
So you guys connected over. And then, so Marissa, I know that folks think, you know, well, if I exercise and I can eat whatever I want and be fine, but that's not really the case.
Not true.
Well, it's sort of a two-way street. If you want to exercise well and you want to be burning kind of optimal calories, you have to eat well. And if you think about it, you might exercise for, what, an hour a day, if most of us are even that lucky, and you're consuming food however many times throughout that day. So exercise is absolutely necessary for just, you know, wellness and good health, but eating definitely takes the bigger, you know, the bigger spotlight.
So when you start to work with someone like August, who's, you know, he's a foodie, he works in the restaurant mm-hmm. industry, you know, I'm guessing, you know, meals are, you know, fast and furious or long and luxurious, but kind of not anything in between and maybe not particularly regimented. What is kind of the first step? I mean, you do an assessment of what he's eating, or you start with a fresh kind of plan? How does it work?
All of the above. I think most of my personal clients come to me because I am a foodie and I eat out a good bit. You know, I'm social. It's sort of the standard New York lifestyle, or the New York diet, if you want to call it that. So you have to be able to be flexible and adaptable to people's schedules. And August clearly has a very demanding one. And you have to figure out how to navigate menus. If he's eating at his restaurants, or if he doesn't have time to cook at home, how do you kind of work within your means to make a diet doable and feasible throughout the day, given the fact that he's now training and he's burning a lot of extra calories, and you need to supplement with good quality nutrient-dense foods and calories to enable him to fight and perform as he would want, and to lose a little bit of weight at the same time, and to still eat amazing, delicious food. So I always start off with a decent assessment of what their client's typical daily diet is like, how many times a week they're eating out, what they might be choosing from menus, how much they're drinking, what their exercise routine is like. And then you figure out kind of from there how to streamline things, how to make some easy suggestions, swap things in, take things out, and then and really go from there.
So for August in particular, were there a couple of like red light glaring do's and don'ts?
Yeah. Pasta.
I love pasta. I have it a couple times
at
a
night,
week.
Yeah, 11 o'clock at night.
Well, he just took the words out of my mouth, but I think the bigger call outs that I saw were more just the consistency throughout his day, and really looking, not necessarily that pasta is bad by any means, but if you're training or if you just want good quality calories on a typical daily basis, you really want to be looking towards more complex carbohydrates. And I found that those were sort of lacking just by the nature of his daily routine and where he was getting his food from, and sometimes just not even being aware of what's around you. The second you're like, oh, there's, you know, beans everywhere on Anfora or Del Anima's menu, or in certain recipes, and you kind of like move towards that versus a full-on pasta dish. So it's sometimes it's just simple swaps and strategies that can make things a lot easier.
So was it easy?
It wasn't.
It's a work in progress.
It's not that bad, to be honest, because I was surprised at stuff. She was like, "Yeah, of course you can eat some. You know, eat this or eat that." Cutting out the nice big Fiacco's turkey sandwich, which I would get about four times a week because I love it, and that's been tough.
Well,
It really hasn't been that bad. And just being disciplined around it's just about kind of putting in your mind, eat something stupid. Like, don't wait until 10 o'clock and you're on your way home and you're like, I'm starving and I haven't eaten anything.
Pay attention.
Yeah. So let me stop. I live across from Commerce Restaurants. Like, let me stop and.
Yeah.
Order some.
I think something that people too often do is either skip meals or wait too long in between meals or don't snack. And then by the time it's 10 o'clock, you're starving. You don't really care what you put in your mouth. You're eating too large of quantities. And from an exercise perspective, you're not fueling your body sufficiently earlier in the day to give it sort of the nutrient stores that it really needs to be able to perform optimally. So that's kind of where we shifted things. And even small things like, I'm going to call out the egg yolks right now, just, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions sometimes around the nutrient value and benefit of certain sort of supposedly not healthful foods like egg yolks, which are amazing. They have, you know, tons of different nutrients. They keep us really satisfied on a smaller amount, so you end up eating less over the course of the day. And August, you know, just thought I should be eating egg whites. They're healthier. I should cut out all the yolks. So that was something I really zoned in on, and we changed, and hopefully can now enjoy a lovely real omelet with the full egg.
The full egg.
And is much more happy.
Yeah.
That was an amazing little, and I don't put salt like sometimes, so I would get rid of the yolks and put a little salt on the egg whites, which is probably a double, you know, like, I mean, not that bad, but anyway.
In the grand scheme of things, not that bad, but, you know, you're taking in some protein, but it's not enough to really fill you up. The good healthy fats and the majority of the nutrients in eggs aside from protein are in the yolk. When you have that, you are much more satisfied more quickly, and the rest of your day comes a lot easier because you feel like you're not like trying to play catch up and you're always starving.
So I want to talk a little bit about, well, two things. One, kind of common misconceptions like this, you know, egg whites. But also I want to talk about supplements, powders, bars, gels, jellies. I know high-performance athletes are often looking to kind of something fast and quick to fuel them on the go, and I wonder if you guys use those things as part of your strategy, or if maybe they play a role at certain points but not others, and kind of the approach of real food versus, you know, something you have to unwrap or, you know, unscrew a cap.
Anyone who works with me knows that I am, you know, a staunch proponent of real food. Real food comes first, absolutely. And you see the benefit of it very, very quickly, much more so than any type of bar or more processed item, even if it is made up of totally healthy, whole, real ingredients. When you are getting your fuel directly from the source, your body always recognizes it better, and it's going to be able to utilize and metabolize it much better. So hopefully that's what's going on behind closed doors.
Let me step back and point out, yeah, high performance athletes, yes.
Right.
And since we're talking about high performance athletes, of which one I am not. But
Getting there.
No, that's been a challenge from a timing perspective. It is so easy just to say, I'm going to grab one of these. I want a little snack, and I'm going to grab a bar. And you know, sometimes I don't feel like an apple. I'd rather have, you know, you have all these different types of bar. I want a peanut butter tasting, you know. So that's been a little bit of a challenge, but really not bad at all. You know, just grabbing some nuts and some dried fruits the more you do it, the more you kind of understand, oh, I could go for, you know, you fill in your craving with real food as opposed to, oh, I like that tasting bar. I like something like, so,
I think when you're able to be more mindful and actually pay attention, which most of us just, we kind of go, and you don't connect how your body's reacting when you eat something. When you do that more often, and you do start saying like, oh, this apple and peanut butter is actually amazing. And I feel much better. I feel more energized. I'm satisfied. My stomach doesn't hurt because I just took in all this processed random stuff and I don't even know how to pronounce the ingredients in the label. So when you start recognizing those things, you're just reinforcing the habit of doing it more. Your body hopefully likes the taste. It's not that peanut butter is bad. It's just, you know, making a point to have it available to you during the day.
So as we're ramping up, you know, we're coming closer to fight day. Is there an intensification of the eating strategy? I'm wondering, like, pre-fight, you know, you hear often, you know, runners or competitors, oh, we have the big bowl of pasta, the carbo loading. Is that a real thing? What's the strategy as you're making, like, your days closer to fight time?
Oh, what's funny you should ask. We just talked about this last week. there is
Roberta's pizza.
Yeah. that is part of the post-game strategy.
Nice.
For me, when I work with any sort of athlete, particularly marathoners or people prepping for sort of a big event or performance or whatnot, I think it's really smart and valuable to focus on more complex carbohydrates and building those stores leading up to a big event. So that's something that we talked about last week, looking more towards oatmeal at breakfast, or working in simple things like sweet potatoes or even roasted potatoes, quinoa, bean soups, bean heavy soups, all those things, so that your energy, you have greater energy to perform and your muscles are being fueled in the proper way versus eating a big bowl of pasta the night before. You're going to work through that energy in that, like, lightning speed, and then you crash because it's not, there's less fiber, and your body doesn't have, has had not had the chance to build up a big storage of it. So you have even steady energy throughout.
And you, so the strategy is multi-days out, not just the day before. Mm-mm. And what about, well, and I know one of the things for boxers that's different than, say, you know, marathoners or, you know, basketball players or whatever is you got to weigh in.
Yep.
So how does that impact kind of consumption in the days before the race?
The fight. I've got myself around where I need to be anyway, so it's, I think asking like a pro who is trying to maximize, you know, and cut all the way and needs to cut a lot because they're typically 20 pounds more than what they're fighting at is a little bit different of a challenge. I'm going to weigh in at 178. I'm down there, and I could probably, we were talking earlier, fight at 165 if I was like a fighter, you know. So I'm already around there. I don't have to do too much. But and then the water weight you lose at the end. I'll weigh myself kind of close and see where I am and
make some adjustments.
I'm not that worried about that. I've got some.
So, what about recovery? I mean, obviously, there's kind of the celebratory, you know, post fight. Roberta's pizza, burger, mm-hmm. hamburger, but there's also, you know, you do need to kind of like take care of your body from a nutrient standpoint. Is there like a short term, you know, something you're supposed to eat right after a competition to help you bounce back, or drink or do or not do before you go out for the celebratory?
I don't plan to get hit during this fight, so
no. Good luck with that.
Obviously. As funny as it sounds, for a sort of intensive type of event or performance or race, chocolate milk is actually an amazing recovery drink.
We've been hearing that lately.
Score. Then you can move to the beer. Actually, love chocolate milk. I've heard of also runners doing non-alcoholic beer or alcoholic beer. Forget after races that. Too. The good carbs and hops in there, but the chocolate milk, as funny as it sounds, actually gives you a quickly digested storage of protein from the milk and quickly converted carbohydrates from the chocolate. Would I do an organic type of chocolate milk that's not super high in extra sugar? Yes, but that is kind of a good one.
I guess, like, I'm going to have a chocolate milkshake.
Yeah, chocolate cake.
And then you can roll into the cake and the pizza afterwards. But just a basic, simple, nutrient-dense meal. You have peanut butter and jelly or peanut butter and banana sandwich is a good one. You want something that's pretty...
with fluff?
Pretty easy on your stomach after a big race or event.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I think we're just about wrapping up, but I want to, if folks want to come out and support you or donate or follow up, what's the best way for them to do that?
Haymakersforhope.org. You should be able to press donate and then you can, they ask if you want to support a fighter, which would be great to be able to put my name there because it goes to a charity that is a great charity called the Valerie Fund, who focuses on children with cancer and blood disorders. They build centers out in New Jersey. So that would be great, haymakersforhope.org. And the fight is November 14th, Hammerstein Ballroom. I think there's a couple of $5,000 and $10,000 VIP tables, which will be catered by Epicurean Events, our company. Woo! So if you're feeling frisky and you've got an extra cash laying around, grab a table, have a great dinner, and watch some not so good amateur great amateur boxing.
We'll see. Well, and then I guess for those foodies out there who are looking to take their eating strategies to the next level, Marissa, what's the best way for them to contact you?
You can email me at marissa@nourishkitchentable.com or just pop by Nourish Kitchen Table for a lovely, healthy meal.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.